Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. Each weekday morning here on the Genesis Communication Network, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and with politics, with patriotism and with the media, as well as with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes may be opened, and you may ultimately change your mind towards many of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission is to help you understand what is happening behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we strive to engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Our number for those who would like to engage in this discussion, question, criticize, or affirm anything that I, our co-host today, or our guest, Jim Garrow, have to say, is 877-300-7645. During the end of the week last week, I received an email from a regular contributor to the program. Larry calls in regularly from Florida. I think those who listen to the program with some regularity know that Larry and I agree wholeheartedly as it relates to Yah's testimony and particularly what his Torah has to teach us. The area where we disagree is on conspiracy. I'm not a promoter of any conspiracy theory. And Larry does see conspiracy in many of the things that are happening in our world. My preference is simply to share the news with you and to show you how your country, your religion, your political party is doing things that are counterproductive, that are opposed to your best interest, and let the chips fall where they may. Well, I understand that that one day last week, a gentleman who owns and runs an enormous number of schools, I think there's some 168 of them, employing many thousands of employees, who teaches an English immersion process in China for Chinese children, and who has been active trying to encourage Chinese parents under the one-child policy to give daughters up to adoption rather than kill them. And there is considerable evidence that many Chinese families considering boys to be superior to girls with the option of only having one child will kill a daughter so that they can have a son. That this man, who has been active in this quest and done enormous good, was part of a conversation whereby a gentleman who had formerly been a officer, a senior officer in the U.S. military, told him that Obama has a new litmus test for senior officers, and that is that they be willing to fire on Americans. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Jim Garrow to the program. Larry is also with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Yada. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
And good Dr. morning, Jesus, Jim.
Hello, Dr. Garrow.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Could you share with us, just so that our listeners know a bit more about you, speak, if you could. You've written a book called The Pink Pagoda, which is about your mission, which sounds extraordinarily noble, to end the genocide in China. How does that program work, Dr. Garrow, and what do you think the results have been?
Well, it works quite simply, really. I have a group of people. I call them coffee drinkers. They don't really drink coffee, but they drink tea. And their assignment is to, in their areas of China, is to find out who's pregnant, enter into conversations with folks in, stores, coffee shops, schools, wherever, universities, and just to let people know that if they're thinking of if they have a daughter and there is an option to do away with the daughter to make way for a son, that we are very interested in taking their daughter and providing it with another life, a life with an adopted family. And so it's a very positive message that we bring, and the response has been extraordinary. To the degree that even the people who would normally be the ones pointing the finger and accusing us of all sorts of evil are the ones who are actually protecting us and helping us all the way up to the intelligence community of the country. So we've been granted great favor, I believe, by God in making this happen, the rescue of baby girls. So what happens is that they would turn over the baby girl to us, and we would place it into a home of an adoptive couple, a Chinese couple. We have over 100,000 in our database waiting for a child, and to date we've rescued many tens of thousands of baby girls. It is illegal what we do by law in China, but it's one of those things where it's kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink. These folks are doing good stuff, so they turn a blind eye, basically. The people who hate us the most in China, believe it or not, are the international adoption agencies who have seen their access to children for international adoption dry up because we're there, and we're putting those babies, not into the international adoption stream, but back into Chinese family.
So the majority of the adoptions then that you are promoting are just to other Chinese couples who, for whatever reason, aren't able to have a child or just interested in adopting another child. So the majority are, rather than being brought out of the country, are moved to other families within the country.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think I read someplace that originally you thought that you gained an ability to operate doing that which is illegal in China, which typically gets someone put in jail for long periods of time, by a daughter of the former premier in China. That's what I think I've read. Attended one of your English immersion schools and had a favorable impression of you and the school, and that since her father was the premier of China at the time, that provided some access for you?
Well, it was actually the niece, the actual niece of Hu Jintao, whose mother really appreciated, I guess, the training that the daughter was receiving, but also the attitude and the I guess the Christian message, really, because the daughter, we called her Rochelle, actually became a Christian, was attending a Catholic church in China, which was very unusual. And in the end, I was invited as an honored guest to come. I flew up to Beijing, met with Hu Jintao, had dinner, stayed overnight in his home. I mean, I would think I was four doors down the corridor from the president of China, and I don't think that's an honor that even the president of the United States has had. So it's quite the thing. When God opens doors, he throws them open.
Yeah, well, you and I would differ on the value of Christianity and whether or not a Christian has access to God. But my understanding is that in addition to the merit of precluding parents from committing infanticide in their own of their own child, that your primary business in China is it's running language schools. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. That's true.
And could you tell us just a little bit about these schools?
Well, they range from types of schools. And, of course, I've been doing this for so many years that the schools themselves, I guess we're into 15 years, 16 years.
Okay.
But what's happened is that we've been able to carve a niche because of the approach we take in the early language instruction that has paid huge dividends in terms of being able to transmit language ability to these children. So we're noted for that. We have, I guess now we have 68 early childhood literacy centers, And, of course, we're known. We're known for our ability in that area. And the elite have sought us out and want to put their children in there. And so we're rubbing shoulders with people who are really running government, intelligence service, military, business. And we really are talking with people who normally you wouldn't get through the door to talk with.
So most of your schools then are designed to help children at an early age be bilingual and be fluent in English. Is that correct?
One group of our schools, but that's that would make up about a quarter of the schools. But the rest are up to the high school age.
Okay.
And, of course, we're helping people place their children, the Chinese people place their children into the major universities and colleges around the world.
What are you experiencing? China's such a an odd character these days because for so many years China was communist both economically and politically. Of course, China is still communist politically, but it has adopted free enterprise practices in the economic sphere. In fact, China may be more open to free enterprise and more supportive of free enterprise than free enterprise is available to us in America today. As you spend time in China, what is your impression of this unique dichotomy of a free enterprise economy in the midst of a communist political machine?
Well, you know, for us in the West, we look at it, and it's kind of bizarre, frankly. You see,
yeah,
you're in a totalitarian state, but you've got this Wild West,
mm-hmm,
a crazy, free, entrepreneur kind of a system running on in the country. They don't have constraints of licensing like we do here, or regulation.
Right.
So you, if you're in a big city, you cross over a roadway, and, you know, in the walkway, as you're going up the stairs to cross over this road, you're confronted with little booths all the way up, all the way over, all the way down the other side, and there could be hundreds and hundreds of small businesses selling food or wares or, you know, homemade crafts and all sorts of things. But it's a joyous thing. It's loud. It's raucous. It's like the old market, the market square in his villages. That's China today.
Yeah. In fact, I would love to return to that a little bit and talk about the unregulated nature of free enterprise in China, and then we'll go on to the question of Barack Obama and firing on Americans when we return to Shattering Myths after the break. We're here with Dr. Jim Garrow. To Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. We're talking with Dr. Jim Garrow, who has considerable understanding and a remarkable presence in the People's Republic of China. China is such an interesting animal. I'd like to pick your brain just a bit more, Dr. Garrow, on China. You know, Americans think of China as being a military state, and yet, you know, America outspends China 10-1 on its military. We think of China being a prison state, and yet a fraction of the population in America has more people in prisons than does China. We think of China as being backwards economically, of America being the manufacturing engine of the world, and now China has passed America in terms of overall manufacturing prowess. And my sense is that it's really happened because the communists who run China politically have ceased being communists economically, and they have done the same thing that you say is being done to your schools and the adoption process, which is the wink, wink, nod, nod, that they are actually supportive of free enterprise in China because it is it has been so effective and in raising the living and the living standard for Chinese, that they have grown more rapidly in terms of prosperity than any other peoples in the world, and it's all a direct result of unregulated free enterprise, where in America we still have free enterprise, but it is regulated to the point now that it is more similar to central planning that you would see in communism. So you mentioned almost a joyous attitude amongst the young entrepreneurial types in China. Share a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, as you say, China is it's a Wild West. It's wide open to entrepreneurship. But keep in mind, you know, that the advantages that they have and the growth that's taking place all across the country and the raising of the poor into better circumstances in life and lots of opportunity for people, it's being done by a centrally prescribed notion of the federal government of China, which has manipulated its currency against the rest of the world's currencies. So, you know, they've been active in making sure that they have an advantage over everyone. It's not that it's a level playing field at all. So I just want to make
isn't that the purpose of one's government? If you're going to have a government, shouldn't your government strive to make it easier for your country to prevail? I just always thought it was so odd that a country would say that our goal is to create a level playing field. That would be like playing a football game and saying, you know what, we want to make sure is the other team has every opportunity to beat us. It is so incredibly odd. I mean, the reason that the Chinese are able to set the value of their currency is because of their economic might. And yes, some of their economic might is relative to the currency, but their economic might that enabled this is the allowance of free enterprise. And, you know, it's more than just the mom and pop vendors on the bridge. The largest industry in the world used to be the General Electric jet engine factory in Cincinnati. It's now the iPhone, the Apple factory in the eastern provinces of China, not far from Hong Kong. And back in the day that I was a businessman, I built probably 20 factories in eastern China, just outside of Hong Kong, and they were large, modern factories which were extraordinarily efficient. In all of this, there's access to engineers, there's access to capital, there's access to governmental support that is making what is genuinely free enterprise prosper there.
What's odd to me is hearing a fella, and I'm assuming you're American, because, mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about a level playing field, well, there really isn't one in the world, period, at all.
No, of course.
But your government is crushing your entrepreneur spirit and crushing opportunity by burdens and taxes and regulations and, that the rest of the world isn't facing. And it's right. To my mind, odd. You know, here I am in Canada. I'm looking down on you guys from the north, as it were. And I see the pattern of behavior. I see what's going on in Shenzhen, and I'm sure that's what you're mm-hmm. talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, the growth there is unbelievable. 25 years ago, it was a fishing village of 500 people. Now it's a booming center of 12 million souls. But the government there is recognizing that if they give people open opportunity, the people themselves will build what's needed for the rest of the country. Now, they're building huge cities that it looks like, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere. Well, they're going to pack them in with people.
Because of the factories they'll build there. Jim, hang on with us. We'll be right back to Shattering Myths after the break, talking about the unbelievable opportunity in manufacturing and business that is taking place in the People's Republic of China and comparing that to our lack of growth. Good morning. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're here with Dr. Jim Gorham and with Larry, who's listening here in Florida. Jim, I think that the example of China is so instrumental in terms of people trying to understand why the world's in the mess that it is economically. You know, we've got many European countries that are bankrupt. America is bankrupt, with now owing more than 100% of its GDP in debt. And I've come to the conclusion after considerable research that the reason that America's economy is failing is that it's grotesquely overregulated. That we have inflicted the throttling mechanism on ourselves, and here with this most recent economic downturn, this recession, the Great Recession, as they call it, was caused directly by government interference in the lending markets. And the solution, of course, is more government interference in the lending markets. And yet you look at China, which during the same period of time has grown enormously to become the world's largest manufacturer of goods and services, and they've done so by eliminating red tape and regulation, by going from being centrally controlled and communist to approving of free enterprise. It's a marvelous example in our world that does reveal that given the opportunity, people are productive, and that they cease to be productive when they are overly controlled. Is that some of what you have seen?
Well, yeah, it's a great summary of what I've seen. You know, the Chinese are very polite people, so, and you know that,
yes,
in dealing with them in business.
Yes.
And there are particular ways,
yes,
that they function, and they relate to one another, and they relate to us. It's
foreign. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, over time, because I've won their trust, because I've won their hearts because of what we're doing in saving the babies, so I'm a different guy. I'm throwing my money into saving Chinese kids, and they love it, frankly. They do love it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're quite open in asking me questions,
yeah,
about the insanity of the West. You know,
right,
here they are, business leaders in their own country, making fortunes, and they look at the American situation, and they go, what is going on? This is madness.
Right.
In their mind.
Right.
Jim,
right,
what do they,
right,
call,
right,
what do they call Obama? What do they call Obama over there? And
oh, why? Yeah, on the street, they actually call him the monkey man. And that's not, it has nothing to do with him being black. It has everything to do with him being a puppet of China. And that's what they see him as, a puppet of China.
Yeah,
that means they would give him a little respect,
well,
because
well,
a traitor to,
yeah,
one's country isn't respected over there.
He's not respected
in any all, in all fairness, America is controlled by China because we have put ourselves in that position. There is no longer any choice. China is the largest supplier of debts to America. We are totally dependent upon China for our debt because we can't control our spending. And as a result of that, if China were to not participate in the next Treasury auction, America would be bankrupt. It could not service its debt.
You used the word, and I've got to take issue with you.
Yeah.
America can't control its spending, is
can't,
the word you use. Now, can
yeah,
I just...
Yeah, can't.
It won't control.
Yeah.
It's spending.
No,
it
can't. It's way beyond won't, because if you look at America's most recent election, the majority of Americans voted to steal money from those who are productive to provide all sorts of monetary benefits on those who either don't work or don't pay taxes. We are so morally bankrupt in America, so ignorant of economics. And so greedy in terms of the majority of Americans think that it is moral to take money from people who have earned it to lavish all sorts of incentives on themselves. And in that kind of a climate, you can't prevail. For America to cut its spending, you would have to go way beyond the spending problem, because America, to cut its spending to the point that we are no longer increasing the deficit, we'd have to reduce our government spending by 50%.
You know
50%?
What? You and I are speaking from the same song sheet. We're not oppositional in what we're stating here. I'm in total agreement with everything you've said. But what I believe is that the government has made a choice. The government has decided that it wants to create a dependent class. And that's what you have. And you kind of
right. It's been successful. It's been successful.
Has. And as long as
people can
vote for their own goodies and vote for for money,
yes,
in their pocket from the government, they're going to go with it.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I use can't cut its spending as opposed to won't, is because back before we had a dependent class, before half of Americans or a little more were dependent upon their government, then we were in a position where we could, we just didn't. And now that more than 50% of Americans are essentially controlled and dependent upon their government, controlled by and now dependent upon their government, and actually cheerleaders for their own enslavement. I think we've moved from art to can't. I think we've rounded that corner. Let's turn now, if we could, to the reason that Larry wanted to have you on this program. And I've seen it in a number of blog places where you have. In fact, let me read what I have heard. And before you comment, I want to share one thought. It says, I have been informed by a senior military leader that Obama is using a new litmus test in determining who will stay and who must go amongst his military leaders. Get ready to explode, folks. The new litmus test of leadership in the military is if they will fire on U.S. citizens or not. Those who will not are being removed. So let me just preface that by saying that while I'm interested in where you heard this and what were the circumstances, this president, this administration has killed many hundreds of American citizens and has acknowledged doing so.
That's the drone program.
That's the drone program. Yeah, this president decides who will live and who will die, and he has killed many thousands of people, but hundreds of them have been American citizens. And so this idea of the president of the United States killing an American is not beyond, and having the military be the instrument for killing American citizens is not beyond the pale as a result of comparing it to what is actively happening in our drone program.
Well, like a comment, please, a comment.
Yes,
if you'll allow
sure.
me.
Yeah, please.
Okay, let's not look at a drone program as being something wonderful or something necessary and really useful.
I don't.
And I'll tell you why.
I don't.
What? Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear you say that.
No, I think the drone program is disastrous for America, and let me explain why. But what the drone program does for America is it enables America to engage in killing without the normal threshold or moral debate as to whether or not it is appropriate to deploy American troops into a region. We can kill much more easily, and when you do that and you kill by remote control, you take yourself down a path that morally I don't think there's any return.
Okay, I can't comment on the moral side of it, but let me just talk about it being smart or not being smart.
Okay.
Here's the reason it's smart for Obama to do what he's done, because his purposes are different than yours or mine. But here's what's happening. Every time he uses a drone to take out people, right?
Right.
Evil guys, bad dudes, whatever. You have lost the ability to gain actionable intelligence from those people. You've snuffed out people whose resource to you is totally lost, and to your military. So what you get is, instead of getting the intelligence held in these people's minds and the information that they have, which would be an advantage to you, either in terms of strategy for the future or just, you know, knowing what's going on in the world with these people, you've lost it.
I'm going to disagree with you there. Larry, let me explain why I'm going to disagree there. Your point is a good point, and I'm glad you brought it up. My view is that America's CIA has no operatives in the fundamentalist Islamic world, and that our understanding of the fundamentalist Islamic world would be extraordinarily easy. All we'd have to do is pick up the five earliest sources on Islam and read them, and we would have all the intelligence we need on what they're doing and why they're doing it. But we don't. So we're not really interested in knowing what motivates them or why they are so prone to commit acts of terrorism. My big concern with the drone program, Jim, is actually that it undermines our Constitution. And once you undermine your Constitution, you have no legitimacy.
Oh, intellectually, that it's going to happen in America, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, and I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. What I was reflecting was the fact that, really, you've lost so much in it overseas that you're losing an advantage that you have in the intelligence community. Your people, your assets on the ground are dead. They've been dead for years. They've been wiped out as a result
of
too much information going out from the president himself.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. You're dead in the water. But you know what? Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on the moral integrity or lack of for the people who are right now crushing the Constitution. And that's what's happening. They're just running steamrollerish right across the Constitution of the United States.
We have a Homeland Security that, according to Drudge yesterday, ordered 7,000 assault rifles at the very same time they're trying to take assault weapons or take away any semi-automatic weapon. It's not really an assault weapon from the American people. Now, I understand what they're doing with China, and you might want to delve into this a little bit, Jim. It seems to me that Obama and the powers that be, the elite, are making decisions about giving away American resources.
Because now you're getting down to it.
That's what's really going on here, which is why China is still pretending, Yada, to buy worthless paper that they know is worthless.
Yeah, they're exchanging
Give us this resource. We won't permit any American coal companies, but we're going to certainly permit Chinese coal companies, oil companies. We're going to find the same thing, and they're going to set up zones where they have their workers taking our resources out of this country to pay for a debt that was brought about by a government that decided to enslave people. And the people acted as cheerleaders to be enslaved. I think that kind of sums it up.
Okay. There is no way to stop Chinese investment in America because the Chinese are providing America's debt. And because they're providing the debt, they have no choice but to buy America. We have put ourselves economically in this position. When we return to Shattering Myths with Dr. Jim Garrow, we're going to speak about the litmus test of firing on American citizens and Obama's new ploy to control the population. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to the final segment of the News Hour of Shattering Myths. We're here with Dr. Jim Garrow, who's the author of The Pink Pagoda, One Man's Quest to End Gendercide in China. Jim, if what you say is true, if the President of the United States is doing behind the scenes what he is doing with his drones and asking American military leaders if they would fire on American citizens, while at the same time publicly rallying to remove assault weapons from the hands of American citizens. If you put those two things together, there can only be one rational motivation for him doing one thing behind the scenes and the other thing publicly. Would you like to take a guess as to what that is?
You're asking me to guess?
Yeah. What
I know what he's doing. He's disarming the population of the United States at the behest of China.
The only reason that the President of the United States would want Americans disarmed and want America's military to be willing to fire on American citizens is that he recognizes that economically that things are going to deteriorate here in this country to the point where the people want to revolt, where we have anarchy, and there would be a revolution and an overturning of our government if it were feasible. But it's not feasible if the people are unarmed and the military is willing to shoot on Americans. It's a control mechanism, isn't it?
It is. It's totally about control of the populace. The Constitution, which gives you the right, actually it's a God-given right, which was written down in the Constitution in such a way that we reflect the inalienable nature of that right. Taking away guns from the populace by disarming is exactly what happens in most totalitarian states. Nobody owns guns in China. But if they step out of line and they have public protests, the army comes in, shoots a few hundred, and then things settle down again. Now, your president admires that.
He's a socialist.
Yeah, and the bottom line, it's worse than just being socialist, I'm sorry. But, you know, the bottom line is that he knows that that's what happens. The army comes in at the government's behest, and shoots people and settles things down. Now, that's the example that he's ready and preparing to follow.
Correct. Yes. And it's all because there has been a constant destruction of America's capability of manufacturing. Our economy has been destroyed by government interference. Overregulation of businesses have not only made it impossible to build a business in America, but particularly the financial markets have been manipulated, which caused the last recession, and the cure always is more government regulation. There is no way to resolve the American economy, and since the economy is all that keeps this country afloat, going to be a time when it all fails, and people are going to want to turn on their government.
A couple of days ago, when I got that call, actually it was Monday morning, it was 7:30 in the morning here in Canada, outside Toronto. And you know, when I got that call from my friend, retired military, one of the top guys, everyone in America would know his name. When he called me in my hour-long conversation with him, he lamented so much about what was going on in America today. And you know what you're saying, and there are many other things that were said in the conversation, but he is quite fearful of the intention of Mr. Obama and crew in doing exactly what's being done, which is really saying to the military, look, if they won't lay down their guns when we tell them, even though they have the right by the Second Amendment of the Constitution to have and hold those guns without being interfered with, will you fire on them? Will you obey the order of the commander-in-chief to go in and do what the Chinese do, shoot a few hundred, and settle things down? Because that's exactly what the mindset is.
So didn't China say they would actually help? I know China's, I've read magazines where their state-run media is all behind disarming the Americans. Why would that be?
Well, that's part of the demand.
China's demand.
And set up special economic zones and put all sorts of financial obligation at risk just to have the American public rise up and start a war in the United States against China. It's not a war over in China they're worried about. They're worried about accepting all the obligations of debt and then having nothing for it in America. They've been lending to the drunken sailor spender, Obama, because they know they're going to get something. The big promise is in hand from Obama that they will get the resources of the United States. He shut down the oil industry. He's decimated the coal industry. And gas is soon to be overregulated beyond. Why?
We're owned by the Chinese. Dr. Jim Garrow, thank you for participating in the program. Thank you for the good work that you're doing in China and for bringing this message to our audience today.
Thank you, sir.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of